From a quarantined studio brought to you by KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As the month of April begins, with millions of Americans having been laid off from the coronavirus-related economic standstill, those renting homes are wondering how they will pay their monthly rent. In the sprawling metropolis of Los Angeles, California, where a majority of residents are renters, one organization has gone on the offensive and launched a rent strike. Under the banner of Food Not Rent, the LA Tenants Union has picketed outside the home of Mayor Eric Garcetti, saying his moratorium eviction order does not go far enough. My guest is Anthony Carfello, member of the media committee of the Los Angeles Tenants Union. Welcome to the program, Anthony.
Thank you, Sonali.
So first, how far does the eviction moratorium go that LA Mayor Garcetti imposed? And I understand that the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, has also issued some sort of policy around protecting people from eviction.
What it does is it essentially delays the processes that already exist. So the moratorium, as it's been discussed from the governor and the mayor, is not really a moratorium so much as a delay. This process essentially asks tenants to loan themselves their own rent to be paid back within 6 to 12 months. And so all the efforts thus far at the city and state level assume that tenants still have income coming in. The tenant that has lost their job now because of social distancing measures, quarantine measures, et cetera, and layoffs, isn't going to have the rent that they don't have April 1st all of a sudden on June 1st. And the measures in place so far are operating on that assumption. And we just find that that doesn't go far enough and doesn't protect tenants in the way that they need to be right now.
Already, California struggled with the worst housing crisis in the nation. Already, this was a state where homelessness has been a huge crisis, where housing costs have kept going up and up, and rent has kept going up and up. With the mass loss of jobs that has already happened and is continuing to happen, certainly the issue of rent seems first and foremost. So does that then explain the banner of Food Not Rent, a simple three-word phrase that emphasizes what our priorities need to be right now?
Yes. It's that we don't know the length of this. 3 weeks ago, we were talking about we're just going to social distance, and there were no stay-at-home orders. And then within a couple of days, there came after that. So, we all are reading a lot of the same reports where this grows each day. So we don't know that, the tenant who has lost their income in these last 2 to 3 weeks of March is all of a sudden going to have new income in mid-April. And so, that person needs to eat. That person needs medicine. Those families need care right now. And the rents that are this system in Los Angeles that just depends on everybody kind of feeding their wages into the monthly rent system has been exposed for all of its flaws at the moment anyways. And so we're just encouraging people to take care of themselves first, knowing that this process is not ended. The coronavirus does not have an end date yet. And so we find that there will be room for negotiation and room to pressure the city government for the protections that they haven't given us yet. And that includes the state government as well.
So what exactly is a rent strike? We know what a labor strike is, where workers take collective action to, not show up to work and use that as leverage to make demands. But if you don't pay rent or just refuse to pay rent, doesn't your landlord have legally the authority to evict you?
When we got moving, with this as a practice, it's inspired by the rent strikes, that themselves have a century-long history, dating back to immigrant communities in the Lower East Side of New York, who were, collectively fought against exploitation at that time. And we found that in Los Angeles in the 21st century, we have to do the same thing. So the rent strikes have been a method to exercise tenant power. Renting in Los Angeles is a lonely process. You get your own lease within a building. Everyone in your building has their own separate lease. And oftentimes, you know, with the different structures around rent stabilization or market rate apartments, you often have people paying different rates in different units. And people tend to, you know, face eviction alone, and people face the struggle of renting alone. And part of the tenants union work has been to remind renters that they are not alone. And in fact, a city that often kind of projects the assumption that it's still this city of single family houses from the, you know, the early 20th century is in fact a city and county with majority renters. And so the rent strike is an exercise of that collective power. So, for example, you know, when tenants are presented with a, you know, eviction notice, as use an example of eviction around the Ellis Act, or an unfair rent increase or something, those tenants then can band together to kind of fight back and try to either gain time, you know, in their homes, gain a negotiation process with the landlord, you know, or gain a reduction in the rent increases. And so we revert to rent strikes because we have, you know, no real other protections. And so the rent strikes are a way that we can kind of demonstrate power and actually work against a process that just assumes that we're supposed to kind of individually roll over with it each time.
So people collectively come together to refuse to pay rent and essentially make a set of demands, you know, as part of what they want to accomplish.
Well, yes, and the one of the first steps is the formation of a tenant association. So tenants will come together within their building or within a collection of buildings to then demonstrate that they are now organizing as an organization, which then they have rights to do so in California. So then the tenants, you know, present themselves as a collect, you know, their collective face to the landlord to ask for, you know, the negotiation process to begin to kind of figure out solutions that are, you know, that are not the kind of drastic realities that the tenants have been faced with. The rent is still collected and in many cases kind of paid to an outside party, to an attorney, or put into a fund to demonstrate that the tenants are still sort of keeping their, you know, contractual obligation of paying. But the but that money is not given to the landlord because the tenants are, you know, presenting kind of their position that the landlord is you know, not holding up their part of the contract, or, you know, or not kind of fulfilling their duties, you know, kind of to the community. And so, you know, one example of a rent strike that has been, you know, that brought a lot of attention to the LA Tenants Union was the kind of coalition organization that happened with the Unión de Vecinos and the Tenants Association that was formed by a building right near Mariachi Plaza. And those tenants lived in a building where it was not protected under the LA Rent Stabilization Ordinance, and they got these all of a sudden very high increases. And in California, if you know, let's say you're paying $2,000 a month or something in a market rate unit, there's only, you know, they only have to give you 60 days notice if they're going to raise that rent over 10%. So all of a sudden, you could have 60 days to come up with another $2,000, which is, you know, it's one of the few things fueling the affordability crises and the rise in homelessness in California. And so those tenants, you know, came together, presented a united front to their landlord, mounted a campaign to sort of bring a lot of publicity to the work that their landlord was doing, even found out that the landlord wanted to rebrand their own building as Mariachi Crossing after all of the mariachis would be evicted. And so then over time, they were able to win negotiations. They were able to stay. Those same tenants are on rent strike again now.
Right. So the rent strike that has been launched in April has this history that you were just mentioning. There's this backdrop. It's not as though so existing grassroots organizing forms the basis of what is happening right now.
Yes. This is in this one particular case in Boyle Heights. That's one particular building I'm speaking about. But yes, then in the terms of citywide efforts, it's the longer term grassroots organizing that has been done, you know, by groups such as the LA Tenants Union, the Chinatown Community for Equitable Development, Unión de Vecinos, the LACLA, and so there's a lot of the work that has happened around the city has kind of come together, you know, as kind of essentially building the kind of network that now the LA Tenants Union is working within to push the food not rent campaign.
Which is such a testament to the importance of grassroots organizing, because in times of crisis, it's really hard to start from scratch. But when you have that underlying basis, that foundation to work from, communities are more resilient. So specifically around the April rent strike, how widespread is it? Is it just Boyle Heights? Is it the entire city of Los Angeles? Are there other communities in California that are participating?
There's rent strikes planned around the city, around the state, and in other cities. We are in touch with tenant organizations through what's called the Autonomous Tenant Union Network, where we communicate regularly with tenants, you know, organizations in other parts of the country. It's, you know, this is a global pandemic and a global system that relies on, you know, this kind of, you know, perpetual wage payment model. It's revealed for what it is right now. And so, you know, LA renters in this particular case, even with all of the conditions, you know, that have made renting so difficult in Los Angeles through the last several years, are in, you know, no different position than Chicago renters or New York renters. It's a conversation around the country right now, because all places in the U.S. are still operating, I mean, for the most part, are all operating on this assumption that somehow we can, you know, we know that the banks are in trouble. We know that all of these corporations are in trouble. The stimulus package makes all of these, it has this new Small Business Association loans for payrolls, because they know that businesses are not going to be able to pay people. Restaurants are closing. And yet somehow renters are all supposed to have a bunch of money stacked up to kind of keep the system going.
Now, I understand that that ahead of the rent strike launching on April 1st, and we mentioned this, that LA Mayor Garcetti's home has been the focus of picketing, that over the weekend there were sort of social distancing friendly pickets that took place right outside his home. And on Wednesday as well, something similar took place. So what specifically are you calling on Mayor Garcetti to do? And can you give me a sense of what these pickets have been like in the neighborhood he lives in?
This has been a kind of coalition effort among several groups, including the LA Tenants Union. And it's impressive how kind of fast it came together within this sort of temporary new normal of social distancing. The mayor's mansion, the Getty House mayor mansion, is in right kind of at the border of Koreatown and Hancock Park. And I think tenants around the city who showed up at this just felt the urge to, you know, want to go and voice their frustration with this. And we want a rent freeze. We want to not pay rent in April. We want, you know, we cannot pay rent when we cannot work. So we want our government to acknowledge that, not just essentially ask us to keep delaying payment and essentially keep serving the landlords. So people wanted to go to Garcetti's, you know, house to just make it clear that we're watching this, and we're watching their actions and that we're disappointed. The same thing goes for Governor Newsom in that, you know, we had said right away that his most recent executive order was, you know, not an eviction moratorium or, you know, a rent freeze. It was just a stay of execution. You know, the tenants, okay, now I get to sit in my apartment. I won't be evicted April, May, June, July. But then, you know, let's say things clear up and it's September 1st and all of a sudden my landlord's asking for all of this back rent that I don't have. And so it's this, you know, this reliance on an untested system so that we can still remain friendly to the landlords and in particular the California Apartment Association that we know had to have, had a part in lobbying in Sacramento. And so to answer your question about kind of what the protests were like, it's tenants driving around the block, it's honking, it's signs, you know, put on their cars, it's megaphones, spoken into by passengers as they pass by. And then people on the street keeping a respectful, 6 to 10 foot distance from each other, as they make themselves visible on the corner. And it did kind of draw attention to the tenants' frustrations.
So what are the specific things that those tenants who want to maybe join in this rent strike ought to do? I understand that one of the things that the LA Tenants Union is advising is to be very clear that one should not move out of one's residence, and that one should be clear that there is no actual moratorium on evictions in place.
Yes. If people go to bit.ly, bit.ly/foodnotrent, they can find a link to the instructions and recommendations from the LA Tenants Union, as well as a letter to send to your landlord. And that is one of the most important first steps that we encourage people to take, which is to notify your landlord with this template letter that you will not be paying your rent. And then to reach out to your local chapter of the LA Tenants Union. We have 11 locals all throughout the city, covering the respective geography enough to cover the entire area. And so in that's a kind of first step. Another thing that we're encouraging people is that we learned yesterday that landlords were circulating these kind of agreements about this sort of payment plan structure. And we are encouraging people not to sign those and reminding them they're not legally obliged to sign these kind of payment plan agreements being made. That the first step should be notifying their landlord with this letter. And as you said, definitely not planning to move out.
And I understand that on that website you gave out, there is a rent forgiveness guide that presumably will work for people in Los Angeles. Is there anything that people can take from it who live outside of the area?
It's definitely worth kind of looking into for people that are living in other cities in the Southland, in unincorporated county areas. And then in general, it follows the current situation of the state. We do prioritize Los Angeles City just because of its different conditions. I mean, to speak about the mayor, for example, in the first steps, there were still evictions happening under the Ellis Act. They then put a moratorium on that kind of after they were already moving. And the other mayor's step was to freeze rent increases, on the RSO building. So buildings under the rent stabilization ordinance are allowed to have a single digit percentage increase every year, that tenants have been fighting against and asking for the elimination of for a long time. Just after the protests on Sunday at Garcetti's house, there was a freeze put on those for the moment. But still, this is all, it's still not the steps in an economy that has completely come to a standstill. But to answer specifically, yes, there's information for tenants outside of Los Angeles, but it is written from a perspective of tenants in LA City and county.
Now, the idea of being behind a rent strike definitely makes sense from a tenant's perspective. But what do you say to those people who, might not be very wealthy landlords whose entire income might depend on rent that they collect because they poured their life savings into an investment property and are relying on rents in order to keep paying their mortgages? How do you respond to the fact that landlords say we have to pay bills too?
The government is taking care of, it's this thing where government is taking care of businesses, and there is work being done for these mortgage forgiveness, the same or similar situations for mortgages to have, payments kind of kicked down the line for property owners. So it's the system that they're asking us to participate in is we would turn around and ask them to participate in it. I mean, and most any conversation around landlords in California inevitably turns to the increasingly fictional is the wrong word, but the percentage of the mom and pop landlords that are, you know, affecting the affordability crisis in California before coronavirus, you know, was smaller and smaller. Yet almost at the government level, from LA City up to Sacramento, every conversation includes them in this idea of the landlord that is going to be victimized by increasing tenant rights.
So when, sort of when the federal government talks about protecting small businesses, they're really talking about protecting big businesses.
Well, exactly. And so it's, you know, we're seeing it in LA, it's, you know, we see these landlords that own many properties being some of the worst, and being some of the essentially biggest slumlords are these ones that have many properties all around the city. That's not to say that there are not mom and pop landlords. There are plenty around, but it's we're not kind of developing our policy in consideration of the idea of this effects. And again, because we know that their mortgage holders are being taken care of and looked out for, in the policies that are and in the conversations that are coming from governments in response to this. The other thing too is that if these companies are small, for example, I received notice from my landlord, you know, encourage me to pay rent so that they can keep paying their employees, somehow making, you know, their payroll my responsibility, when the fact is that there are loans for payrolls. There are programs being put in place right now to help businesses. And there's a lot more of those programs coming up than there are to help tenants.
Right. I mean, some people may get a $1,200 check, but I am guessing that landlords are expecting tenants to pour that into rent. And those are just one-time checks anyway, coming from the federal government, as far as we know.
Yes. And this is a vagueness that, you know, I can interpret. I attorneys could speak to this better than I could, but there's these kind of, you know, one of the other kind of real problems with the supposed eviction moratorium in Los Angeles is the onus on the tenant to prove hardship. So it's this idea that tenants are supposed to say, oh, you know, here's my paycheck showing that, you know, I was laid off on this day and now I can't, you know, like, so it becomes this effort that then all of a sudden the landlord ends up the arbiter of the tenant's income. And we haven't seen how that's really going to play out and how well landlords are going to kind of respect that system. So what about the landlord that has a tenant? There's a tenant who makes $1,000 still in these last couple of weeks of March, and their rent is $750. And their landlord says, "Well, you know, that shows that you have enough money to pay me." When that tenant, you know, wants to eat too. So the kind of the like, you know, portion or percentages are really vague about what tenants would be to, you know, be expected to kind of contribute, in terms of showing their inability to pay rent and or ability, and it's all just so fuzzy in its effort to be friendliest to property owners. So we haven't seen what happens when those landlords, you know that those checks are starting to show up. It really wouldn't surprise us to imagine that there's going to be all sorts of tenants contacting us about landlords demanding those checks.
Well, Anthony, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post links to LA Tenants Union's Twitter handle, as well as the website you mentioned earlier for the food, not rent strike. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
My guest has been Anthony Carfello. He's a member of the media committee with the Los Angeles Tenants Union, and we've been discussing the rent strike launched April 1st. I'm Sonali Kulhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.